Our assistant news director, Glennis Board, spoke with PBS documentarian Ken Burns recently about his new film, Country Music, a film by Ken Burns. The 16.5-hour film will be broadcast this fall. Burns spoke with Glennis about the impact making this film had on him and what he's come to understand about the power of country music.
Was country music an interest of yours, or how did this project get started? What prompted this idea?
We're always looking for good stories in American history, and I now, in retrospect, having spent the last 8 years of my life immersed in the story of country music, can't imagine a better story in American history to tell than this one. It's complex. It's very emotional. It proves some of the things that I think our country is so beset with now. We're into making distinctions about the other and forgetting that we're all kind of in the same boat together. And country music is the music of people who felt that their stories haven't been told. And so it's been our privilege to tell those stories and to tell them in an interconnected way that doesn't segregate them into some lower 40 acreage that doesn't deserve the attention that other musical forms do, and to also show that there are no real borders between the various musical genres, and that country music isn't one thing and never has been one thing.
Well, you know, 8 years, boy, that's a long time. Can you just give us a little bit of insight onto what that process is like? I mean, a 16-hour film is such a huge thing. I mean, this is what you do, obviously, but
this is what we do, yeah. And it involves deep dives. It takes a lot of time. I mean, the only place this could be done is in public broadcasting, in PBS, because of the amount of time required. It's hugely labor intensive. We spent a long time researching for that rare photograph that's never been seen, for that rare home movie or newsreel footage that's never been seen before, not because we get to advertise that, because it fits into a complex story that we're trying to tell. And so that takes time. And then the story itself is a huge sort of, complex novel, multi-generation novel with dozens and dozens of characters whose stories have to be intertwined, whose values have to be calibrated in just the right way. So it's nothing that you can just sort of churn out a script. When the script comes, we spend two or three times just looking at it as a document and allowing scholars to comment. And we had a wonderful advisory board, including Kathy Mattea. And then after three or four drafts at that, making the writing better and whatever, then I read it as the narrator, me. Mm-hmm. And we sort of listen to it as a radio play,
wow,
if you will. And then we call that a blind assembly. We do two of those and we make huge, substantial, significant changes, and kind of cutting it down and cutting it down and willowing. Art is always about subtraction.
Uh-huh.
So you're talking to me in New Hampshire, and we make maple syrup here, and it takes 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a 16.5-hour film. So if you multiply that times 40 or times 50, you understand all the negative space of creation, if you will, what's not in the film. All those photographs that we looked at, the 100,000 photographs that we looked at, the 175 hours of interviews to have maybe the existing four or five that that are in the final 16 hours. But you can't do a good job that will last and be able to be used in classrooms and to be a favorite on PBS unless you've done that kind of deep dive. And it isn't just sort of regurgitating and repeating superficial conventional wisdoms as we do in our contemporary political discussions. It's more nuanced.
You know, you've made so many of these epic films, and it's kind of awe-inspiring. What is it about this one that you think you're going to remember in years to come? Like, is there something that really stands out to you in this time period over the last 8 years or what have you?
The country songwriter Harlan Howard said that country music is three chords and the truth. That means it's very simple, elemental music. Anybody can sort of master those three chords. It lacks the sophistication and elegance of classical music or jazz. But it also lacks its complexity and difficulty to understand and find relationship to. And the truth that it's telling in those simple chords is the elemental stuff of life that everybody, even if they're not a country music fan, which we hope to convert, is these are the things that we all feel, the joy of birth, the sadness of death, the falling in love, trying to stay in love, losing love, loneliness, redemption. This is all stuff that happens to everybody. And somewhere there is a country song that exactly fits who you are at that moment. And we just want to parade the best of that tradition out and say, listen to the mastery of Hank Williams, who says, "I'm so lonesome, I can cry." Now, it just seems so elemental, but no one has said it that spared down. Or Dolly Parton, who has a verse, the chorus, I mean, of her most celebrated song that goes, "I will always love you, I will always love you, I will always love you.
Oh, but above all of this, I wish you love, and I will always love you."
But when you hear that song, and when you hear her remarkable voice, and when you hear the circumstances of why she wrote that thing, which is what we do as storytellers, is add dimension and complexity and undertow to the narrative, it has more meaning. And so I think for me, over the 8 years, the most surprising thing is how many times I have just felt like the story we were telling performed on me a kind of open heart surgery and exposed me to powerful, powerful art. I mean, Hank Williams was called the hillbilly Shakespeare. Merle Haggard was called the poet of the common man. We dissect not just the history of the music and the types and the big stars, but songs themselves that travel unchanged through times, and songs that get rearranged and rearranged and morph into something else. And also what the act of songwriting is about, whether it's Kris Kristofferson or Dolly Parton, one of the greatest ever, or Merle Haggard or Johnny Cash, or the early pioneers, Jimmy Rogers, the Carter family, and Hank Williams. So it's a thrilling ride, and it's a completely, as all our films are, utterly American.
Did you ever see a robin weep when leaves began to die? Like me, he's lost the will to live. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Well, let me ask you, so I'm speaking obviously to a West Virginia audience, and I understand that you have some roots in West Virginia.
My great-grandfather was from Pocahontas County, from Hillsboro, and my mother was from Clarksburg, born in Clarksburg. She was a Smith, and her mom married a Tucker, and they moved to Chicago. But I've had aunts and uncles who retired to Lewisburg, next door to Pocahontas County, and I got West Virginia in my blood. Most of my dad's people come from just over across the border from Pocahontas in Bath County, Virginia. There's a Burnsville there. So, you know, you're talking to, a native son in a way.
That's awesome. I love it. In West Virginia, or in Appalachia especially, storytelling is so much a part of who we are. And I wonder, do you reflect on that often? I mean, do you ever think about that?
Well, this is how our first episode is about, is that, you know, you have this centuries old tradition, millennia old tradition of people talking to one another by sitting on the front porch or hearing the music coming across the holler from somebody else's house. And radio then helps spread that, and mechanical reproduction helps to be able to purchase and understand what that music means. Dolly says it really well. Dolly Parton says in our film, it's carrying the news. And it's not just the news at the moment, it's the news across generations. So she's talking about songs becoming like Mule Skinner Blues in our film, is sung first by its composer, Jimmy Rogers, and then later by the Maddox Brothers and Rose. And then in his debut at the Grand Ole Opry, Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass, plays it. And then later on, Dolly plays it, sings it in our song. And you just see this family heirloom being passed from generation to generation to generation.
Yeah.
So we're looking at this wonderful, incredibly complex and interrelated, and in which it shows we're all connected at a time when everybody wants to say, nope, I'm different from you. I vote for this party. You vote for that party.
Right.
We're enemies. And you begin to see, you know, the way in which we're all the same, that 99.99% of our genetic makeup is the same, and that the same percentage wants the same things for the kids and their posterity and for their country. And so this is a way to continue stomping your foot on the front porch and suddenly realizing that stranger knows the same song as you, and that makes them less of a stranger. That's the whole purpose of art. You know, it's communication and a transfer of emotion. It's the purpose of music, which is, as Wynton Marsalis says, the art of the invisible, the only art form that's invisible, and the fastest art form. It works on you so quickly that we're hoping that the addition of country music helps us return to a much more open and kind of conversation and civil discourse that permits us to remember that an alloy is always stronger than its constituent metals. And that if we just return back to that kind of pure form of us against them, we've lost the real meaning of us, which is the civilized meaning of us, which is all of us together. That's what country does.